Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, and thank you for each of the brothers and sisters sitting here this morning. And I just pray that Stephen would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that he would speak truth, that he could articulate what you've laid on his heart, and may the Holy Spirit give the power to his message, and may we learn and grow and be impacted by it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
What a beautiful day to serve the Lord. What an amazing privilege it is to walk with God. That was a beautiful time. Thanks, Ray, for leading us in that time together. Did you get to bear somebody's burden as you were sitting there, or did you not? I know you did. I can see it. People are rejoicing in the goodness of God and what He has done for them. God is such an amazing, amazing Father. I invite you to turn to the book of Jude this morning. And it only has one chapter, so you don't have to worry that you're going to get lost in the different chapters. The book of Jude was written for us to learn something from. And the part I'd like to focus on this morning is on building. There's a part in here that talks about building. And why is that important? Why is that so important? And God has given us life. He's given you and me salvation through Jesus Christ. I think for the most part, everyone that's here this morning has been saved by the blood of Jesus. And if you have not, please get saved. Because the only life to live is a life that is lived in connection with Jesus Christ. But in the book of Jude here, he talks about building. And we're going to read from verse 14, no, sorry, from verse 17 to the end of the chapter. We're breaking into a thought here of what is happening in the last days, which is the church, the last part of the church age, and how there was going to be deception coming into the church. There's going to be men coming who are going to deceive people. And he breaks in verse 17. Let's read 17 to the end of the chapter. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who would walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Amen. Oh, what a beautiful picture of what God has in mind for each of us. Did you ever wish that all your temptations would just disappear? That you would never, ever face another temptation in your life? Did you ever wish that as you walk your Christian walk, that you would be spotless? As you think about your walk with God, have you ever wished that you would be spotless and no fault at all? Did you see what he wrote to us about what Jesus wants to do in our experience? He said what he is able to do. He's able to keep you from falling. Now, if I stand on the edge here and I get over the center of gravity, most likely I'm going to fall off the stage, right? There's good possibility of that happening. I debated testing it to see how far my center of gravity goes before I fall off. You know what? We live like that. We as Christians don't have to live like that. So if sin is the edge of this stage, why would I get further and further, get as close to sin as I can? So my center of gravity gets, all of a sudden I fall off. I'm not spotless. Why would I not want to live in a place of security? I live in that place because of Jesus. As you go back to verse 20, beloved, building up yourselves. Now, if you build something, it means you have something already. Like I said, probably for the most part, we're all Christians here this morning. If you are a Christian here, you have a privilege to build. You have a privilege to build something. Not just anything, build up your faith. Build up the faith that is in you, the faith that you have in the Son of God. So you have the privilege to build. And how are you going to build? How are you going to build up your faith? That thing that is in you, that God wants you to grow. And why would you do that? What is the purpose of building your faith? As you build your faith, as you build it in the Lord, you're not going to be deceived. These people that come into the church and try to deceive you won't be able to deceive you, because you're built on the rock, Jesus Christ, and you're building up your most holy faith. And it's just a beautiful thing that God cares so much about us as a father, as a loving father, that He wants our faith to be built up. He longs for your faith to get even bigger. How big, excuse me, how big do you want your faith to be? Just a little faith? Don't worry, it'll come out eventually, and I'll be able to speak again clearly. But how big do you want your faith to be? Do you want just tiny little faith? Jesus said if you have a tiny little faith, it's good. You can look at that mountain over there. There's no mountains over there. Don't look. There's no mountains. But you can look at that mountain over there and say, mountain, you got to move. And it will move if you have a little bit of faith. He doesn't say you need a faith the size of that mountain, but He invites us to build up that faith that we have. Why build up your faith? Why build up the faith? So there's many reasons for that. One of them is so that we can know Him more. When was the last time you saw God? You don't have to say when it was. Have you ever seen God? Do you want to see God? Would you really like to see His face? One of the reasons I think that God calls us to build up our faith is so that we can see Him. You know, as I look to the back of the church, I don't see Him coming in the door in physical form. I don't see Him. If I look out the window, I don't see Jesus. But when I look in the audience, I see Jesus, because I see a whole bunch of representations of Him. But with the eye of faith, I see Jesus. With the eye of faith, I can see God. I look past what I see around me, and I see Jesus. I see Him. And as I see Him, and as I build up my faith, I see more of him. Because something happens as we build up our most holy faith. And there's three things it talks about here as it talks about building up your most holy faith. He talks of how to do that. So you were wondering how you're going to build your most holy faith. There's three ways he gives us here. And I'm going to take them in the order they're given. I don't know that there's any specific importance to the different ones. But the first one is praying in the Holy Ghost. The second one is keep yourselves in the love of God. The love of God would be the second. And also looking for the mercy of Jesus Christ. Praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. Are you in the love of God? This morning, do you know that God loves you? And most of you are saying, yeah, I know God loves me. Do you really know God loves you? Do you really, really know God loves you? Can you say, when you look, if you picture God standing in front of you, when you look at him, can you say, I know he really, really loves me? Some of you are saying, yeah, I think so. I think I do. But do you really know? If you don't understand that God really loves you, now, why does he love you? I'll answer that later. If you don't understand that God really loves you, you're going to live falling off the edge, coming back up, falling off the edge, never realizing that he loves me for who I am. Whether I'm, and as I'm living here, falling off the edge, coming back up, I think, oh, he loves me more now because I'm standing up here again. He loves me more now. But as soon as I go down, oh, he doesn't love me as much. I made a mistake. I didn't do what I should have done. I said something I shouldn't have said. I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at. God doesn't love me very much anymore. He can't love me. I did something that disturbed his love. And so I repent, and I get back up close to him. Oh, he really loves me now. He really loves me now. He loves me so much more than when I was down there. He loves me so much more. Isn't that amazing? Where does he love you more? Where does God love you more? Do you know that he loves you? He sees he sees every time that you fall. He sees every time that it doesn't go right for you. And he says, that's my child. I love them. I love them so much. I just want them to be beside me. And I don't love them more when they're standing up here than when they're down. And you're saying that's impossible. God has to love me more when I'm being good, when I'm doing all the right things, when I look right. God has to love me more. It's impossible. Well, you look around and you think of the people that you like the most. You like them because they're nice to be around. They're great. They do nice things for you. They're always kind to you. They give you lots of money if they're rich. They say good things about you. So you really like them. Why do you like them? Why do you love the people you love? What is the reason for that? Do you love them like God loves? I'm giving you a lot of questions. So you're going to have lots to think about today. Because I won't answer them all. Do you understand that God loves you not because of what you did, not because you are so smart theologically, not because you're like Ray and you can theologically answer any question that comes to you, not because you're like Zach and you can lead worship and lead people into the presence of God. That's not why he loves you. But he loves you because he saw you as someone who's worth. Thank you, Dean. He loves you because he saw you had worth. How do you know that he saw you and you had worth? Jesus said in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 13, and I believe it's chapter 17, he said there's a scene there where there's a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Before time began, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they had this figured out, that there's going to be people who are just terrible. People who don't love God. He had this figured out, and he said, we have a plan. Let's show them how much we love them, how much they are worth to me. So when God looked at you, and there's another verse that talks about the works and people rejecting him before time, and God saw that, and yet he loved. He saw that rejection, and yet he loved. He loved when he saw rejection. He loved when he saw you saying, I don't want you, God. I don't want to serve you, God. I'm going to figure it out my own way. I'm going to do it my way. He loved you when he saw you saying, God, I'm going to serve you like this. I'm going to get, for me and my background, it's looking right. So that's the example I'm going to use. God loved me when I said, I'm going to dress this way and I'm going to be right. I'm going to look right, and so I'm going to be right. I look like I'm serving God, so I've got to be serving God. God saw me in that situation, and he said, I don't love you more than I did when I said, no, God, I don't want to do it your way. He saw me, and he said, I love you. I love you. Do you know that God loves you? Not because of what you did, not because of how good you are. Our whole society, our whole world is geared to the approval of men and getting reward. And I'm all for when you play a game well that you get some kind of a trophy at the end. If you win your baseball tournament or your hockey tournament or spike ball, whatever it is, I'm all for trophies at the end. But one of the things that that has done to us, and I think to Christianity in our world, especially in our Western world, is it has come in where we see God like that, that he rewards us because we're so good. And that's not why. We could look at, in Corinthians, it talks about receiving a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to receive what we have done in our bodies. So does it matter? Yeah, of course it does. It does matter how you live. But he doesn't reward us because he loves us more. Does God love you? Do you know God loves you? He said here in Jude, he said, build yourself up in your most holy faith by knowing the love of God. Knowing the love of God. Knowing that God is for you, not against you. Knowing that he loves you, no matter what is happening in your life. Do you know God loves you? Are you convinced that he loves you? Keep yourself in that love. And as you keep yourself in that love, your faith is going to be built up. As you keep yourself in the love of God, you will not fall. Because he says in verse 24, he is able to keep you from falling. So if I decide I want to jump out of his love, I'm going to fall. If I stay in the love of God, and it becomes more than just a knowing. It gets down inside my heart to where it becomes a living reality that God loves me. God loves me. I remember the day that happened to me. When that went from my head to my heart, and it changed my life. That particular moment of time is very clear in my mind because I understood God loves me. God loves me. As I saw the love of God, it did a refining in my heart to where I didn't want to sin. I had no desire to sin just because I understood that God loved me. That love was so pure, so holy. That love is that and not was, it is. That love is so pure, so holy that it removes that desire for sin. It takes that away. And that is what Jude is encouraging us here to do. Build yourself up in that love. Keep yourself in that love. Stay in that love. And as you do that, as you live there, you can walk with God. You will walk with God. You will experience intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. Do you have intimacy with God? Like, do you talk to God ever? Is there ever a time when you talk to God, or you know God exists, or Jesus? Do you ever talk to Jesus? You go through your day and you never talk to him because, oh well, he knows I'm here. He sees me. Do you know God intimately? Does God know you? God knows you. I know he does. We just talked about the love of God and how he loves you. But there's a part of intimacy, of a connection with God, that intimacy never comes without love. If I don't believe that God loves me, not based on what I'm doing, let me say it a different way. When I know that God loves me based on his love, not on who I am, what I'm doing, what I look like, when I understand that, I can step into intimacy. What is intimacy? Intimacy is a connection. It's a relationship. It's a fellowship. It's a becoming one, a oneness. That's what intimacy is, becoming so one with him. And you cannot do that. No, that's negative. What other way is there to say it? You cannot be intimate with God unless you understand the love of God, unless you understand that he really loves you. Intimacy. God wants to be intimate with you because he wants you to be just like him, to look like him. Isn't it amazing? We have this group of people here this morning, believers, who look like Jesus. Do you ever think about it? You look just like Jesus. I think I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Tomorrow morning when you get up, before you've washed your face and combed your hair, when your eyes are just barely open, before you've had your coffee, look in the mirror. Say, Jesus, I see you. It's kind of weird at first. Anyway, Do you know Jesus lives in you? And Jesus is in you. And he is that living reality that is in you. Keep yourself in the love of God. Build yourself up. And then the other one he talks about is praying in the Holy Ghost. Why would you pray? Many times prayer is simply something we do, something we say. We've heard people pray all our lives, and it becomes normal, it becomes natural. You kind of learn what phrases you should say, how you should say it, how you should word it. But there's a different praying here that he's talking about. He's talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. We as baptized believers in Jesus Christ, we who have walked, who have stepped into that new life, have the Holy Spirit within us. We now have the privilege to pray through the Spirit of God. So your prayers no longer have to be simply written prayers out of a book. Praying in the Holy Ghost is a very beautiful thing because it is now not some ritual you're doing. Now, I have nothing against prayers that are written in a book. There's some beautiful, I don't know if liturgy is a prayer. I think a liturgy is a prayer. So there's some beautiful things that are written. I think Ray read one the other Sunday, or part of one. And those are beautiful things. I'm not speaking against those prayers that are written. I'm talking about a prayer that we pray simply mechanically. You know what it's like when you practice for something? If you love volleyball, you practice and you practice. That's not my love, so I don't practice volleyball. I still enjoy hunting occasionally when I have time. But a bow hunter that is good, if I want to be a good hunter with a bow, I can't just go to Bass Pro, buy a bow, arrows, go home, go out to the woods and kill a deer. That's impossible. Or for me it would be. For some of you maybe it's possible. The same is true in prayer. I'll try to make the leap between that analogy. As you practice prayer. Sounds kind of weird, practicing to pray. But as you pray, and as you pray, it becomes your natural life breath, your natural ability. So when you're faced with a situation, if you've built up yourself in the most holy faith, you understand that God loves you, and you are used to praying to God, talking to God about your day, about your things, all of a sudden somebody cuts you off when you're driving down the road. What's your first response? Something that's not good. No? Possibly it is. Is your response to talk to God? So if you were to talk to God instead of the driver ahead of you, what would you say? God, that terrible driver, would you stop him? Would you cause him to have an accident and get killed? Would you do that? Is that the response that you would have? Or would you say, God, just teach him a lesson. Show him how awful a driver he is. Would you say, God, thank you for the opportunity to learn something. Thank you for the opportunity to learn how to live in difficult situations, how to learn more of you in this situation. We have that privilege. And I think that's part of what praying in the Spirit is living in connection with God, practicing that prayer language with God. That there's also the aspect of it being a special prayer language, a special language that in your time alone with God, you pray in the Spirit. And the reason for praying in this, one of the reasons for praying in the Spirit is because when the Spirit of God in you, you have the Holy Spirit within you, when the Spirit of God in you prays for a situation, you don't understand necessarily what is being prayed or how the answer is coming. But the Spirit of God within you communicates with God, and there's a beautiful connection that happens, and things happen because God is moving. Praying in the Spirit. So what are you going to practice? If you understand that you should pray in the Spirit, you can't do that. Oh boy, I'm too negative. It's the way to pray in the Spirit is to practice. Meaning, if I get up in the morning, I go to work, I don't spend any time with God, or I just have a short prayer, God bless my day, make it go well, make sure all my coworkers are good today, make sure they treat me right, I just want a good day, I want to feel good when I'm done this day, God, amen. And so I go into my day, and my day goes, not too bad. Or maybe I have a fantastic day that day because of coworkers, they just, for some reason, they just all behaved and they were treated me nicely. Somebody brought me coffee. It was a great day. I had a best day. Or maybe it wasn't a good day. How much better? Or how much more could we experience of God during our day if we were to enter into time with Him before we left? It's not always possible. I understand that. We live busy lives. We have busy schedules. We stay up late and get up early because we have to get to work and we enjoy hanging out with people. I understand we have busy schedules. And don't hear this in condemnation. Hear it as an encouragement to take time with God, to enter into your closet. Jake shared something in our time this morning with me about getting in your closet with God. Beautiful. Beautiful thought. When do you get in your closet with God? That meaning, when do you talk to God? When do you have a set time where you sit down, stand, whatever you do, lay on the floor? When is that time for you that you talk to God? He talks to you. I'm encouraging you, take that time. Take that time to talk with God. Move into the closet, talk to God. Now, maybe your schedule is that you don't have time at the beginning of the day. To me, the time of day isn't important. I don't care what it is. But I want us to understand the importance of that. Entering into the closet, praying, with talking to God. Prayer is simply talking to God. That's one of the definitions of it. It's a little simplistic, possibly, for some of us. We want it to be something really complicated, something really powerful. But enter in to that practice of prayer. Enter into that practice of praying in the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of God. Intimacy with God. As you take time, as you build yourself up in your most holy faith, as you take time for that, God begins to flow out of you like you never dreamed possible. As you do that, as you build yourself up in your most holy faith. You know, we look at great people of God. We look at men of God in the past, And you can call them heroes of faith. We look at them and we look at what their lives were like and how they lived. And we say, wow, they were powerful men of God. They were mighty men of God. They did wonderful things. Why? Why were they able to do that? You know, I read recently of some men of God who did amazing things for God. And a lot of the reason that they were able to do amazing things with God is because they knew God. They had a connection with God. Now, okay, I want to do amazing things. I want to be amazing so people think I'm amazing, right? I want to do great things for God just because God is good. If that's our reason for pressing into God, it's the wrong reason. I want to press into God so that He knows me more, so that He changes me more, makes me more like Him, more and more like Him, so that I become more like His image, so that when people see me, they see God. Great men of God, great women of God, don't become that way simply by hopping in the boat of salvation and floating down the stream. The boat of salvation is very secure. When we say yes to Jesus Christ and we say, I'm going to follow you no matter what, that is very secure. When we die with Christ on the cross, we say, God, here I am. Everything dies. That's very secure. I'm not minimizing the security of your salvation. I'm saying you cannot expect to be a person of faith by simply floating down the stream and expecting that faith to somehow happen. That faith happen. It takes practice, it takes work, it takes intimacy. Now, all the work you can put into it won't happen, won't make you a person of faith if your focus is on how can I be better? How can I please God so that He loves me more? But as you practice, as you walk, it's similar to a workout routine at the gym. You know, for those of us who are my age, we don't think we have to have this huge body anymore. Maybe we should. But, you know, some of the young guys are still working out and staying fit. And that's great. I'm not opposed if somebody stays fit. I think it's a good idea. But, you know, you will not gain muscle and keep it. Well, you will not gain it by staying at home and having a gym membership. You won't gain any more strength by staying at home and saying, wow, they've got such good workout equipment in the gym. It's amazing. It's the best anybody could ever want. It does amazing things for you. It's just, oh, it's awesome. It won't help you. You won't gain anything by even going up and looking at all the equipment, going to the gym, look at all the equipment, and you just go to each machine. Wow, you're just so amazed. This is amazing. You're never going to gain anything that way. The only way you're going to gain is by going there and getting on the machine. Or the treadmill, by lifting those weights, you're going to gain by using it. Saying that to say, you have salvation. You have been given salvation. Now God wants you to become the best possible representation of Him. To have that image of God so stamped on you, and you're going to need to step out into the gym. And that takes work. That takes time. To go to the gym takes time, especially if you have a busy schedule. So what are you willing to do to build up your faith? Remember the love of God. Remember that God loves you. He doesn't love you more because suddenly you have this huge body that looks amazing. He doesn't love you more because this week you didn't get angry once. He doesn't love you more. He doesn't love you more because you gave so much to the church. God doesn't love you more because of that. But He loves you because He created you. He loves you because He saw you as a representation of Himself. And He wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to be able to talk to you. He wants you to be able to go and show your coworkers what it looks like to be Jesus. He loves you. No matter what is happening in your life. What a privilege, what an awesome privilege we have to be loved by God. Do you know God loves you? Do you know God loves you? And another question, and I used this one at Arise one night, so forgive me, Brad, for using it again. But I'm going to ask you the question, and I'm going to leave it with you. You don't have to answer it right now. But I want you to consider it. What is your love life like? What is your love life like? I'm not talking about who do you love, you know, which girl do you love? Which one are you really hoping says yes to you? And that's not what I'm talking about. Or which guy do you really, yeah. That's not what we're talking about. What's your love life like? What is your love life like? Do you know that the lover of your soul, that refiner that we sang about, how He loves to work in us. Do you know that He loves you? What is your love life like? If I look at my love life, I know I have so much more to understand about Him. There's so much more to understand about my lover. For a minute, I'll talk about my wife. There is so much more I need to learn, and I want to learn about her. And there's so much more I can learn about her. We've been only married 27 years. For some of you, that's a short time. For some of you, it's a long time. But there's so much more I can learn yet, and I'm still learning. Some of you have been saved for a short time. Some of you have been saved for a long time. What is your love life like? Do you know? Do you know that He really, really loves you? And that He is doing it. He is desiring for you to enter into that relationship, that intimacy, that place where He can talk to you, where He can share with you things that He wants you to see. And that's a beautiful thing about God. That's a beautiful thing about entering into that intimate relationship with God, is He talks, He tells you things that you need to know. He tells you things that you should change in your life. He says, this would be a better representation of Me. And He offers Me the privilege to change, to become more like Him. And when I don't understand that He loves me, what I hear is, oh, you were bad. you don't do it right. You don't get it right. But when I understand that he loves me, I understand that he's saying, come, be more like me. Look more like me. Act more like me. Be a better representation of who I am. That is intimacy with God, to understand who he is, his amazing, amazing love for us. Keep walking in that. Keep living in that reality. I recently was talking with God, and he showed me something, and it was something to do with us as a body here. And I think what I'll do is draw what the picture he gave me, and then I will add the things that were added later. And I'm going to have to, because I'm not an artist, this is a path that we as a church are on. This is like a point in our journey. And what God told me as he showed me this picture of us on this journey, this path that we have been on as a church body, this path that we are on is a beautiful path. This path has salvation. This path has peace. We have experienced in the last year, year and a half, beautiful times together as a body. We've experienced wonderful things as a body. And God has done amazing things. But what he told me was that we have come, or we're coming to, I'll call it a crossroads, because that's the picture I got. We're coming to a crossroads, and we have the choice at this crossroad to step across the line, continue moving forward. That didn't work well. And on the other side, well, I won't write it down, I'll just say it. On the other side of this intersection, crossroads, is greater intimacy with him as a body. I'm not talking now personal. It wasn't a personal thing. This was about us as a body. We're at this crossroads, coming to it, where he wants us to step into greater intimacy with him. And we have the choice. He didn't give me the picture of what that looks like, but the picture that he gave me of what it looks like if we don't step across that line is that we continue to just circle around and around and around. As we heard last Sunday, what are we willing to give for God? Are we willing to allow God to move us across the line? I don't know what that line looks like. There's a number of things that have come to me since about that line. I think God is inviting us to a place of intimacy. There's verses in Ephesians that talk about the love of God that is beyond knowledge. And that's the picture that I have of us receiving it. Now, that I didn't get in that moment. But the picture of us entering into that love of God that surpasses all the dimensions of His love, the depth, the breadth, the height. And that's what God's calling us to. Let's continue to move in intimacy with God. Step into that relationship with God.